What's up, Oos? Main event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE,
and I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba. Yeah.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Now, obviously, when you are submerged in freezing water upside down in a capsized boat in the middle of an ocean, 100 feet down on the ocean floor in pitch darkness, God, that's a lot to say.
What it is, P, silly listeners, it's your audible boo thing, Amber Smiles Jones, and this is the podcast where we shoot the shit and we take our silliness seriously. The Professionally Silly Podcast. Y'all, today we're going to have ourselves a great episode per the usual. Don't know why I feel like I need to say that every week. It's already a given. Like a Pythagorean theorem. I'm not good with algebra. Did I say something smart? All right, anyways, coming up in today's episode, I'm actually going to be sharing with you guys with a letter that me and ChatGPT wrote together for my almost 40-year-old self. It's about that time. I was born in 86, and it's all uphill from now on. I'm trying to be positive. And also, we're going to discuss a federal judge who was getting it on in chambers, as well as a man who was trapped underwater for 3 days. So make sure, if you haven't already, you subscribe to this podcast on whatever platform that you are using to listen to this amazing audible enjoyment. Yeah, so that was a nice description. And if you're looking at this on YouTube, which is a place where you can watch the video version of this podcast, you're able to go to the Professionally Silly YouTube channel, click that thumbs up button, and sit back and enjoy. Oh, and Spotify as well has the video portion of this podcast as well. So, you know, you really can't get away from me audibly or visually. Your girl is everywhere. All right, so as a reminder, guys, it is indeed June. Happy Pride Month, bitches. Happy Pride Month. And also, happy Men's Mental Awareness Month as well. So there's a lot of amazing things going on this month. Not to mention, it is my birthday month. I'm kidding, I'm not one of those people. But it is my birthday month. My birthday is on June 19th, and it's going to be the big 40. Yeah, the fatty, that's and I don't even feel different. Like, mentally, I feel like I'm like 18 mentally, maybe 21. I can drink then. But, you know, like physically, definitely feel my age, maybe a little older. I need to work on that. But I still feel the same. I still feel, I was going to say the word spry. I'm not that damn old. Okay. So I want to let you guys know, if you are in the, you know, the Georgia area, Atlanta area, most likely actually the south side of Atlanta, McDonough, Georgia, at Dave & Buster's in McDonough, Georgia. Once again, June 19th, I'm going to be celebrating my birthday there. Really looking forward to it. So if you want to stop by and say hello, play some games, come on through. You're all invited. It's a public space. Let's have a good time. You know what I mean? As you guys know, in Atlanta, we're going to be having the World Cup. It's going to be here in Atlanta. And I got to tell you, I live here. And whenever an amazing event comes here, shit gets wild. The traffic is going to be garbage. Everything is going to be expensive. Going out is going to cost more. Uber and Lyft prices are going to go up. Those rideshare companies, it's going to be insane. Even getting Uber Eats and all those things in that area is going to go up. That's just how it works. But I also did recently hear that a lot of the restaurants in the metropolitan Atlanta area, they are going to be adding a 20% gratuity automatically to your check. And they're doing this because they are concerned that the servers are not going to get fair tips, because when you think about it, there's a lot of people from all over the world, honestly, that's going to be coming to this World Cup.
Okay. And in other parts of the world, tipping is not necessarily something that they do there. You know what I mean? It's they pay their servers and things very well. So some places tipping is rude. You know what I mean? So they may not do that. So there is a good possibility that during the World Cup times, the servers, especially in that area, might be missing out on some tips. So I'm just warning y'all, there's going to be a 20% gratuity additional to your tab, even if it's just you by yourself. There is a very good chance there's going to be one. And honestly, if you live in Atlanta, they've been doing that shit for years anyway. So so it's not really that new. But for those of you who've never experienced that shit, just get ready for it. It's going to be expensive. Ladies and gentlemen, coming up next, a new Have You Heard About? Coming up next right here on the Professionally Silly Podcast. Actually, guys, before we get to our crazy Have You Heard About, I would like to share a bit of what I would like to call a soliloquy that ChatGPT created for us adults struggling to get by, just realizing as we get older, things are just, they're not the same. So let's go ahead and check this out. I think you guys will like this, and I certainly did, and I couldn't wait to share it with you. I would first like to apologize to my body, to my knees specifically. Y'all, they sound like microwave popcorn every time I stand up, but that's on me. I told myself that I was going to get more sleep. I really did. But then nighttime showed up with its little bag of lies, and suddenly I'm saying things like, one more episode won't hurt, right? While I'm holding my phone 6 inches from my face like a Victorian child reading books by candlelight. And for what? So I could learn a raccoon can fit through a dryer vent? Did I need that information at 12:47 in the morning? No, I did not. And don't even get me started on my back. My back has become incredibly dramatic. I sneezed yesterday and saw my entire ancestry. Sleep. Sleep used to be free and natural. Now it's a part-time job. I got magnesium gummies, blackout curtains, rain sounds, lavender spray, a fan pointed directly at my forehead like Beyonce nearby, and somehow my brain still decides 2 a.m. is a perfect time to remember that embarrassing thing that I said back in 2014. You know what would be fun right now? You know what would be fun right now? My brain says reliving that awkward handshake. That's what would be fun right now. Let's relive that. Meanwhile, my body is filing complaints like a disgruntled employee, and don't let me accidentally sit down after work. It's over. Once I get home, the bra comes off, the shoes come off. Don't ask me for shit. I literally become a part of my furniture decor. I sit down for 5 minutes, looking confused, holding the TV remote like a survival tool. Then, the next morning, I wake up sounding like a haunted accordion, just making old man noises just to put on socks. Why am I grunting to rotate slightly? I'm almost 40, damn it, not an ancient drawbridge. I tell myself every night, tonight is the night. We're going to get 8 hours. We're going to get 8 hours of sleep. Tonight is the night. Then suddenly, I'm online reading an article titled, "Which Bread Matches Your Personality?" What the fuck? I just want to know, why am I awake long enough to discover that emotionally I'm sourdough bread? So yes, to my immune system, my neck, my lower back, my knees, my emotional stability or their lack of, and whatever organ makes my eyelids twitch, I am deeply sorry. Tomorrow, we rest. Probably. Unless YouTube got another documentary about abandoned water parks, then I'm going to be up for a while. I just was feeling kind of, I don't want to say down for my birthday. I think for me, the down part is not just getting older, but it's just, the older I get, I tend to, I guess, compare my life to other people around me. And I can't help it, even those who aren't around me now because of social media. So I'm like, I'm about to be this age and I haven't done this yet and I don't have this. And once again, comparison is the thief of joy. And I just wanted to make myself laugh and come out of that. So I came up with this random ass AI prompt for ChatGPT, plugged it in and just played around with it. And I thought it was funny and I wanted to share it with you. And it did make me feel better. And if you were going through the same thing, hopefully it made you feel better too. Have you heard about the Atlanta federal judge who was caught having sex with an Atlanta police officer in her chambers? Have you heard about that? Yeah, that happened. No, this is crazy. Let's dig in slightly, shall we? So apparently this Atlanta federal judge was found engaged with sexual activity in her chambers, and not just like caught, like somebody walked in on him. All you had to do was walk down the hall. Apparently the sounds that were being made were quite vocal, very loud, and easy to realize something is going on behind closed doors. So anytime a judge in that area asks to see you in chambers, you better bring a condom because it's about to get wild. So there was like a federal judge and a high ranking law enforcement officer with Atlanta. And apparently they were having like an affair or a 2-year sexual relationship or a real relationship. I don't know, honestly, but I do know this. You can't be f***ing in chambers. You can't be doing that, man. Not only were they getting it on in chambers, they were doing it during work hours. People like literally like employees of the courthouse and in that federal building can hear what's going on. It's insane. Yeah, I got some audio. Now, either that Atlanta cop was breaking her back or he put it in the wrong hole. I don't really know what happened there, but it's very loud and it makes no sense for that to be heard in a federal building. That is insane. Now, apparently there are like secret logs and witness testimony from different people who actually reports that this officer has actually made frequent visits to the judge's chambers. And now we understand why. Getting his pole polished and whatnot. Now, in the beginning of this whole thing, they were trying to keep the judge's like information kind of private, like who it was, keep her anonymous. But now we know it was federal judge Eleanor Ross. She is a black female federal judge who's serving, the Northern District of Georgia and has been there since 2014. Okay, so she's been there for quite some time. So there are multiple reports that are actually saying that the officer was identified as Kelly Collier, and he is a deputy chief with the Atlanta police. Investigators are saying that this affair has created an uncomfortable working environment, which, yes, makes, I would agree. I cannot imagine being in a federal court building and hearing that. That's not what I'm there for, dog. You know what I'm saying? I can't even have Pornhub for that anymore because I live in Georgia. They got rid of our porn, so now we just got to go buy the DVDs again like back in the day. Good times. Now, you want to know what's going to happen with this judge? Not much. At first, she denied it. Okay, but then she said, oh, I can't really lie about this. This happened. Okay, she admitted it. She has to write written apology letters to former law clerks that she works with and agreeing not to seek any type of leadership positions within the judiciary. That's a tough word, judiciary. And she also has to agree not to serve on judicial conference committees. Now, I know a lot of people are upset about that because she still remains on a federal bench. To that, I say, fuck you. And let me explain why. Okay, what she did was not breaking the law. It wasn't great. But a lot of people voted for a criminal to be president. Someone who literally sexually assaulted people, you know, broke many laws, was found guilty. So if he can still be president, she can still be a judge. I don't, you know what I'm saying? That's how I feel about it. Come back and talk to me when we no longer have a criminal as president, and then we can have a little discussion because y'all worried about the wrong shit. Here's the thing. At least the person that she had sex with consented. Just two consenting adults doing something hella stupid at work very loudly. You know, if you're really all up in arms about this woman still having her job, I want y'all to keep that same that same energy for that pudgy orange bag of wrinkles that y'all love so goddamn much. You know, just keep that same energy, baby. So she got some at work. So what? Many people do that daily. Was it unprofessional? That depends on the position they were in. If it was doggy style, that just feels like it's a little unprofessional in a federal building, I feel like. Like, at least missionary, you know? Let's be respectful. Can you imagine being alone in the dark, trapped underwater for days? No? Well, you know what? I know a guy who did just that, coming up next right here on the Professionally Silly Podcast. So I've got another survival story for you guys. You really seem to enjoy the man that was trapped in the elevator, that story. So that got me thinking, maybe I could bring you some more interesting survival stories. So this week, we're going to talk about a guy who survived literally being underwater for 3 days. So we're going to talk about a Nigerian man who was 29 years old at the time by the name of Harrison Okinney. On May 26, 2013, Harrison was actually working as a cook aboard a ship, a tugboat that was actually stabilizing an oil tanker right off the coast of Nigeria. So there were 12 crew members on board this boat, all right? And on that day, Harrison went to the restroom, or as my British listeners say, the toilet. He went to the toilet. That was a really bad accent. I apologize, but I am wordly. I remember when I went to London as a kid and I was confused. I was like, why do all the signs say toilet? Like, I knew what toilet was, but here in America, we say restroom, bathroom, if there was a bathtub in there. It's a whole thing. Anyways, now, while he was in there, before you know it, things got crazy, okay? The seas got rough and large waves actually hit the side of their vessel and actually caused it to capsize and quickly sink to the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean. And when I say the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean, honey, I am talking about the sea floor. About 100 feet deep, which is about, I think, 30 meters for the rest of the world. Not only did this vessel sink to the bottom of the floor, but it sunk upside down. Yeah. First of all, I honestly cannot express how much I want no part of that type of experience. I get terrified that I'm going to slip and fall in the shower. Okay, so I can't be in the middle of an ocean on a tugboat. I cannot be doing that. No. I got to angle hold you. Now I understand why the people on Deadliest Catch, like those crabbers out there, why they make so much fucking money. It is so dangerous, dog. So dangerous. So while Harrison was in the restroom, he heard a loud bang that's hitting the side of the ship, and he felt the impact that actually caused the boat to tilt and began to sink down to the bottom. I ain't gonna hold you. It's a good thing that he was on the toilet. Because that would have scared the shit out of me. You were waiting on me to say it. You know you was. As the boat is filling with water, obviously he needs to figure out a way to get out. But not only is it pitch dark, okay, when he's at the bottom of the ocean fucking floor, dog, the water is freezing cold. So he's got some decisions to make, and he's got to make them very quickly. Here's the crazy thing. He actually didn't even find his way out to escape, but he did find a 4-foot-tall air pocket and an engineer's office. He was able to find his way there, which is a good thing. At this time, he's surrounded by complete darkness and wasn't really able to see anything around him. He knew that his crewmates were most likely dead, and he was alone. He had no food, no fresh water. The only thing he had access to was a single bottle of Coca-Cola. Legit. Now, obviously, when you are submerged in freezing water upside down in a capsized boat in the middle of an ocean, 100 feet down on the ocean floor in pitch darkness, God, that's a lot to say. He also needs to try to keep himself calm, try not to panic while he's down there so he can kind of reserve the oxygen that he does have. That's a tall order, my friend. I can imagine being down there completely alone and being so far down, the sounds that amplify around you. I know he must have heard, you know, all kinds of sounds, things banging up against the boats, the ocean water itself, fish and marine life kind of scavenging through the boat looking for things. It is even said that there is a chance that he actually heard marine life feeding on the dead bodies of his crew members, which I don't know what the fuck that sounds like, but I don't want any part of that. he was down there for so long, he really didn't have a sense of time. And obviously enough time for him had passed it. He didn't think that anyone was looking for survivors. And he was right. This is the kind of survivor story that kind of low-key haunts your dreams, because the things that a lot of us are afraid of the most in life, some people actually have lived those fears. I ain't gonna hold you. I wouldn't have survived any of this. I'm weak as fuck. There's no way. There's no way. I give up now. Just the thought of it. Nope. Of course, he prayed to be saved because he thought that he was going to die alone down there. So he was able to balance his head above a shrinking air pocket for about 60 hours, trapped 100 feet below on the seafloor. I cannot explain or express how far the seafloor is. I mean, 100 feet down is pretty far, dog. Are you kidding me? Think about what is, if you're, think about what it's like to stand in like 6 feet of water. Okay, I'm 5'7". I can't stand in 6 feet of water. There's gonna be water above my nose and shit. He's 100 feet down, dog. Now, if you're like me, as I was reading this story, you probably thought that his biggest danger would be drowning down there. Nope. That is not the case at all, because experts later explained that the biggest danger wasn't even hunger either, or thirst. It wasn't either of those things, but not having enough access to fresh air, that's a problem. That's a problem. So the largest concern would have been the air pocket was actually gradually filling itself with carbon dioxide from him breathing. That's what was going on there. As the oxygen levels dropped, he became weaker and a little bit more disoriented as well. Survival experts actually said that he was very close to approaching the limits of how long that he could have survived in those type of conditions. So he was pushing it. He was pushing it. He really was. So let's go ahead and get into the rescue, okay? Because, you know, spoiler alert, you know, he survived. He made it. He made it.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
3 days later, a team of South African divers from the DCN Diving was sent down to the wreck to search for bodies, to recover the bodies. That's why they went down there. So one diver was actually recording the recovery mission of the bodies. He was recording it. And at one point when he was inside of the ship, he saw a hand just kind of emerge from the darkness. And he was thinking, oh, I found another body. That sucks, you know. But as he was reaching toward the hand and to grab it, to, I guess, pull the body towards him to take it up top, that hand actually grabbed him back. Can you imagine how terrifying that would have been? Of course, when the hand actually grabbed him back, the diver realized, holy shit, there is a living person down here. I don't know how to fuck, but we need to save this person.
You're walking on the ceiling, yeah?
And look closely.
He's alive. He's alive. All right, just keep him there and keep him calm, okay?
His 11 colleagues drowned. In his air pocket, Okene could only listen as the boat sank and various sea creatures swim past all the time, waiting and hoping for a miracle.
And then we're gonna bring you home, okay?
And a miracle he found as the divers gave him air and lifted him to safety.
And the crazy thing is, all of this is caught on tape, and I've seen it. You can actually find it on YouTube. It's not that hard to find, but it was a moment. And I gotta tell you, that would have scared the absolute piss shit out of me, 100%. And the crazy thing is, the diver almost didn't see him at all, because Harrison was down there in the pitch black darkness, and he saw the lights of the divers that were down there searching for, you know, for the bodies to recover. And he couldn't scream. They couldn't hear him down there. You know what I mean? He was kind of disoriented and a little weak as well. So he kind of took the chance to try to chase after the diver, trying to let him know that he's down there. So all he could do was reach out and touch him. There's really not much he could have done. And that, holy shit, I cannot get over how amazing the story is, because 3 days underwater alone in the dark is, holy shit, if you want to see the footage, it is available. There's video footage of like the exact moment that the diver swam into that room, and you can actually hear the diver like reacting in disbelief, like what the fuck just happened, and it's something crazy. And so if you haven't seen that video, you need to go ahead and check that out. I'm gonna tell you right now, dog, you ain't gonna catch me on a tugboat ever after this story, 100%. I mean, I've never been on a tugboat, but I'm definitely not gonna start. That's where I'm at right now. I can just imagine being that diver. Like, he's probably already recovered a few dead bodies, and you think you found another one, only to find out that this one is not dead. He's alive. Like, it was probably scary at first, but like shock and full of relief later, I'm assuming, you know. Now, here's the thing that many people haven't maybe not have thought of in a situation like this, because you're not divers and neither am I. I swim like a rock. You ain't gonna see me down there. But because he was under water and for so long and so far down, breathing compressed air at 100 feet down, they couldn't just bring him straight up to the surface. You can't do that, because if you do that, he could suffer from decompression sickness, which is known as the bends. Pretty much what's going on there is like his body was highly saturated with nitrogen. And so because of that, it can be extremely painful to come up too quickly, as well as also, you know, fucking fatal. So you don't want to do that. If you want to know more of why, I don't know, read a book. I'm not here to explain science to you. To get him ready, rescuers came down there and they gave him a diving helmet, and then they transferred him into a diving bell. Now, I did Google this because I didn't know what a diving bell was. So a diving bell is a heavy-like structure that is lowered into the water to transport divers between the surface and the deep ocean. It acts as a secure transit cabin is what it's used for, allowing divers to work underwater for long periods of time without needing to decompress between every shift. That is what a diving bell is. So they kept Harrison inside of a decompression chamber for about 2 days upon reaching the surface. And after surviving the 3 days trapped underwater, Harrison battled with PTSD, which makes 100% sense to me. It really does. I mean, he had nightmares of sinking again, like he was back in the ocean. You know, his wife witnessed a lot of night terrors of him screaming himself awake, flailing around because he thought that he was back in that ship. I cannot imagine the fear and the horror and another word for that, terror of experiencing something like that. Now, Harrison, he swore that he would never, ever, ever return to the ocean. Now, I ain't going back to the water, and I don't blame him. But here's the thing. Harrison surprised us all, because not only did he go back to the water, he became a licensed commercial diver. Yeah, in about 2015. So 2 years later, he became a commercial licensed diver. And guess who gave him his diploma? The very diver that saved his life. How dope is that? How dope is that? He survived something that many of us could not even imagine, refused to ever go around that thing that almost took his life. And then he conquered it. Conquered? That felt weird. He conquered it. And look at him now. What an amazing story. What an amazing story. And since then, he's just been sharing his awesome story around the world, sharing his survival story. And damn it, I hope he's making money off of that shit. I really do. Because that is an amazing story. I hope he has a book. I hope there's a movie made. There's, you know, we need more of Harrison. We do. Oh my God. I cannot even imagine. It's time to tell me something good with my This Just In Something Didn't Go to Hell segment coming up next right here on the Professionally Silly Podcast. Look, all right, y'all, I'm just going to be real with y'all right now. There is a very good chance that I cry. Shit, there's a good chance that you might too. I ain't going to hold you. This shit is so touching. I wouldn't call it necessarily good news, but it is inspiring and it's warm. So I guess in that way, it's good, right? What we have is a woman who kept texting her dead father's cell phone number every day for 4 years. And one day, she got a response. So I know that sounds a bit like a tease, but that's literally what happened. And I'm going to go ahead and share this with you guys. This is coming from the Instagram page at the Gospel of Love page on Instagram. And it is just such a beautiful thing. So I'm going to go ahead and read her text message that she actually wrote to her dad, the very last one. She has his number saved in her phone as daddy with a heart emoji. And it says, "Hey, Dad, it's me. Tomorrow is going to be a rough day again. And it's been 4 years since I lost you, and not a day goes by that I don't miss you. A lot has happened in that small time, but I'm sure you know since I tell you all the time. I beat cancer, and I haven't gotten sick since you were here, like I promised you I would. I would take better care of myself. I finished college and graduated with honors. Now I'm back and finishing up again. I fell in love and had my heart broken. And you would have killed him. But I picked my head up and became an even stronger woman. I lost all my friends and hit rock bottom. But I found someone who came into my life and saved me. I don't have any children yet. You would be so happy. But I'm ready. I still drive Mama crazy every day, but I'm keeping her on her toes. And I'm sorry I wasn't there when you needed me the most. But one day we will have our chance to watch that game." Well, she goes on to say, "I am crying like a baby. I'm afraid of marriage because I'll have to walk that long aisle alone and you won't be there to tell me everything will be okay. I'm doing great. You would be so proud of the woman that I have become. No, my smart mouth and attitude have not changed. And no, I have not gained I have not gained weight. It only goes to my head. I just wanted to say that I love you and I really do miss you." So she got a response, and the response is what broke me. And I'm already broken now, clearly. But the response from that she got, it wasn't from her father. So don't freak out. It's not a ghost thing, but it was from someone who has that number. All right. So the response, it says, "Hi, sweetheart. I am not your father, but I have been getting all of your messages for the past 4 years. I look forward to your morning messages and your nightly updates. My name is Brad, and I lost my daughter in a car wreck. Oh my God. In a car wreck August 14th. And your messages have kept me alive. When you text me, I know it's a message from God. I'm so sorry that you lost someone so close to you, but I have listened to you over the years and I have watched you grow and go through more than anyone. I have wanted to text you back for years, but I didn't want to break your heart. You are an extraordinary woman, and I wish my daughter would have become the woman you are. Thank you for your everyday updates. Oh, God. You remind me that there is God. There is a God. And it wasn't his fault that my little girl is gone. He gave me you, my little angel. And I knew this day was coming. Everything will be okay. Push yourself every day and shine the light that God gave you. I'm so sorry that you have to go through this, but if it makes you feel any better, I am very proud of you. P.S. I think your father would be very happy to know that you bought another dog instead of having children. Take care. And I look forward to your updates tomorrow." Get the fuck out of here. Get the fuck out of here. The reason that one gets to me so badly is because I did the same thing that she did. When my mom died, I texted her number a lot. And one time I did get a response. I think I shared it with you guys back in the day when this happened. Anyways, and the woman who owned that number, that owns that number now, or did at that time, was like a mother of five or mother of six. And she responded saying that she was sorry for my loss. And if I ever wanted to talk, that I could. And she would hope that somebody would do that for her. You know, for her kids, if she passed away and that kind of thing. I never really did reach out more to her because it was just too hard for me to do that, to have that number and know that she's not my mom. You know what I mean? So I never did reach out after that. But Anyways, that was some emotional shit. Sorry I ended it with that, but it was just so beautiful because these two people needed each other, and they didn't, the only one of them kind of knew what was going on there. And I just thought that was so dope. You know what I'm saying? And fuck, I don't even know what you can take from that, but I took a lot from that, and it made me feel less alone in that. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of us tend to leave messages on the Facebook walls of those who have passed away, or DM their Instagrams or things like that. And we know that they're not going to respond, but that moment that someone who has that phone number does, like it happened to me, it happened to this girl, it is for a second, you think that they're alive. I mean, you know that they're not, but just for a second, that moment felt really good when I saw, you know, the word mom go across my fucking screen. And now I'm going to turn 40, and my mother isn't here to celebrate that milestone with me. And then it makes me so fucking sad. But I'm trying to make her as proud as I can while I'm down here. And hopefully I will see her again. I don't know. I might end up, you know, downstairs instead. I've done some crazy shit in my life. Ah, fuck.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Well, if there's anything that you can take from this podcast episode, it's we are capable of way more than you think. And I think that Harrison kind of showed that to us, and all of the other amazing experiences that we've had in our lives have showed that to us as well. Professionally, Silly Life Rules. Shout out to the listeners, because you guys are fucking titties. I love you so much. Okay. And if you, I said every week, I love your faces, but most of all, I love the ears that are attached to them. Thank you so much for joining me and chilling with me every week. So sorry we got all the emotional and vulnerable as fuck towards the end. The end, I usually leave you with something good. I mean, I guess I did. It was just like a sad good. You know what I mean? If you haven't already, make sure you guys subscribe to this podcast, whatever platform that you are using. I am available everywhere, including YouTube and Spotify, for video forms of this podcast. So if you're watching on YouTube, click that thumbs up button and please subscribe there as well. And I could definitely use some 5-star reviews if you could on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. That'd be great. And some written reviews on Apple. That'd be amazing if you're still listening. I would love it if you could help a sister out and show your support in that way. That'd be amazing. You need some advice. You got some good news. You got a hilarious story you want to tell. Reach out to me. My email address is itsprofessionallysilly@gmail.com. Everything is spelled correctly. It can be found down below in the show notes. My link tree is there, along with my my P.O. box and all of my social medias that I use frequently. P.O. box, what is it? P.O. box 533, Lovejoy, Georgia 30250. All right. And if you have not listened to my other podcast episodes, if you're just joining and you're new, I hope that you decide to stay with us and binge all the episodes that you've missed. It's only gotten better, honestly. I'm very proud of where this podcast has come from and hopefully where it's headed. Fingers crossed, you know. Follow me on TikTok at Amber Smiles Jones, on Instagram at True Smiles Jones. True is spelled without the E. And I'm on everything else, too. Find me. I'm there. It's all in the link tree down below. You can follow me. Check me out. Oh, and by the way, if you want to hit me up on Cameo, I'm available there as well at Amber Smiles Jones. I could use the moolah. Okay, gas expensive. Thank you. Once again, it's your Audible boothang, Amber Smiles Jones. And thank you so much for listening to the Professionally Silly Station right here, where I take my silliness seriously. And I'll leave you with this. A chair is just a personal shelf for your butt. Yeah. Anyways, enjoy that random ass thought. Until next time, peace, silly listeners, until you decide to tune back into the silly. Watch where you step, because there are pieces of shit everywhere, and they love to spread their ignorance. Okay, bye. coming up today in the today's episode, I sit for 5 minutes and wake up confused, holding the TV. I sit down for 5 minutes and then I wake up confused, holding the TV. All right, so there are also multiple reports on who the officer was, and some right now the reports are was Kelly Collier, was deputy chief. Multiple reports have identified the officer as Kelly Collier of multiple reports have indeed God damn it.
multiple officers. Blah, blah.
Off the... This was... One more time. Had to navigate his way through a pitch black area. Was it pitch black or pitch dark? Anyways, pitch dark area. That didn't sound right. He's trying to navigate his way through a dark ass area.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane... Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.